Identifying the details of where the Defense Department's money goes is the major contribution of new research from the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Steve Grundman is George Lund Fellow at the Atlantic Council and former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Industrial Affairs and Installations. He spoke at the rollout event for the research project. He says his favorite part of the CSIS work is a survey of acquisition reform over the last 50 years because it shows a distinct milestone in the way acquisition reform has gone historically.
After 1994 is the year that I marked the change, was a different style of acquisition reform than prior to 1994. And so that's what I focused at least some portion of what I had to say on.
What do you think drove that? Was there some piece of legislation? Was there some event, something else that drove that change, that different approach?
It is a document that then Deputy Secretary Bill Perry promulgated in 1994. It was a one in the litany of acquisition reform reports, but it came out in 1994, and it shifted the focus of acquisition reform from the organization, discipline, and manning, if you will, of the acquisition system, from that to the toolkit and, in some sense, the playbook that acquisition managers use to make choices about acquisition. At least that's the that had always been an impression that I had, and the documentation of these different seasons of acquisition reform verified that. In 1994 was marked by this publication that was authored, or at least issued under the authority of Bill Perry.
So what was it like before? What happened since 1994? And what's the trend that you're seeing now as far as the direction that we're headed? Are we headed back toward more pre-94 acquisition reform, or are we headed in an entirely different direction now, Steve?
The most distinctive and, if you will, celebrated reform of the pre-1994 era was the formation as part of the famous Goldwater-Nichols Defense Reform Act, I think that might have been its title, of 1986, I believe, the installation of the whole chain of command for acquisition and the realignment of that chain of command and the reallocation of authorities for acquisition choices and management from essentially the uniformed military to a chain of command that starts at the top with the secretary, but leads to the senior acquisition executive of the department, who is now the undersecretary for acquisition technology and logistics today, Frank Kendall. So that was the sort of the signal achievement of that era, which again was a lot about getting organized, if I can put it in that perhaps too shorthand to cover everything that was done there. Again, since 1994, actually the Better Buying Power initiatives are really exemplary of a style and a sense of priorities about acquisition that are less about getting the lines and block the line and block chart right than about making smart choices in respect to what you're trying to buy and what the market will bear.
What was your takeaway from the discussion at the event? A lot of folks there who know what they're talking about when it comes to these issues, not the least of which Dick Ginman, who lived this stuff very recently at the Defense Department. But what was your primary takeaway from that conversation?
It was my takeaway, and I contributed to this point, and with some regret, the point being it's complex. My own comments, in addition to my calling attention to this historical survey that they'd done, my own comments about the actual analyses that had been featured in the report was that it would be very difficult to draw many accurate inferences from the data that had been presented, because the analysis that had been done did not, as a statistician would put it, or an econometrician would put it, did not control for the multitude of other factors that may explain why, for example, a particular service's rate of effective competition had changed over the last 5 years or not. And I think in various ways, other of the speakers affirmed and certainly created the overarching impression from the event that this acquisition management system is maddeningly complex and trying to render it by the numbers and understand it by the numbers is difficult, and not least because we're not quite sure what the right things are to measure, let alone the difficulty, the actual measuring difficulties, which are a whole other host of problems.
A major development this week, Steve, in acquisition reforms and structure at the Department of Defense is this statement by Secretary Kendall about watching mergers and acquisitions among the largest members of the defense industrial base. What's your analysis of that announcement and what it might mean for the future of the defense industrial base, at least to the degree that the Pentagon obviously intends to keep a very close eye on it?
It was a very remarkable thing, which is to say, on fairly short notice, I would understand. I don't know this firsthand, but I've learned it from other reporters who've called me. On very short notice, the undersecretary called a conference call, and during that conference call, he read a statement expressing his view that while he concurred with the government, and it was the Justice Department that supervised and was responsible for the antitrust review of Lockheed Martin's acquisition of Sikorsky, which earlier in the week it had cleared, basically it stood back from any making any further investigation of it. In this statement that Secretary Kendall read, he affirmed the government's decision not to obstruct that merger, but at the same time, he then put a very big marker down in respect to his own preferences, and maybe obviously speaking on behalf of the department's preferences, that antitrust review give more weight to what I will call, and I think some economists would call, conglomerate effects. Conglomerate effects, and there is a theory, if you will, of conglomerate, or sometimes called portfolio effects, that are not recognized in American jurisprudence of antitrust and are largely dismissed by the dominant strain of American antitrust economics. But that Secretary Kendall, perhaps unwittingly, by the way, I'm not saying he had these concepts and these theories in his mind, but what he is expressing concern about certainly harkens to or resonates with the idea that there are anti-competitive effects of conglomerate or of portfolio, of broad portfolios of products and services that are not well addressed by the traditional horizontal merger guidelines and the way vertical mergers are evaluated by the government.
What's the takeaway for people in the defense industrial base that worry perhaps that this signals kind of a new attention to be paid on the way that they structure their businesses?
I think it is just that there is another stream of concern, or more simply consideration, that this particular undersecretary is, or at least wants to give, to the government's review of mergers, and maybe more practically will give to its formulation of major defense acquisition strategies. I actually personally feel it's going to be very difficult for the Department of Defense to succeed in gaining new law to prosecute, if you will, these conglomerate or portfolio effects. But I do think that the greatest defense customer of the world has an awful lot of power to express these concerns in the way it organizes and manages acquisitions. And I think ultimately that's the way these concerns that he has about, again, I'll keep calling them conglomerate effects, I think it's the venue where these concerns will get expressed rather than in law, I believe, I predict, I suppose.